baby and their family, and I know they appreciate your prayers for his wife, as she was kind of on bed rest there for a while towards the end. So there's also a flyer in there, and talks about millions, okay, and about Ukraine and all the different people and groups that we're helping out, supplying the needs there. So a little bit of reading material there. Keep praying for Margie. Still had some challenges this last week. I was talking to her, and she said she went in and to get the staples out in her knee. And it must have been a PA. Somebody else was taking them out. She pulled the first one out. Ow! And the doctor sticks his head in. Everything okay in here? You know. Well, he said, then they had 22 more to pull out. Ow! Oh. Here's a clothespin to bite on, right? So keep praying for her. And then she said they had to go to rehab. So that kind of finished her off. But some of you had prayed for her cousin, Joe. The guy was in kind of a bad way there for a while. He had a stroke. I believe it was the left side. Didn't matter. One of his arms wasn't working right. And he was blind. Couldn't see. And long story short, got the sight back, and he's going to rehab for the arm. But Lord's good in taking, helping to answer prayer there. So, all right, good enough. Y'all tuned up, ready to sing? Amen. How about number one? You won't have to dig too deep in your hymnal. Number one, joyful, joyful. We adore.
All right, guys, you should be almost there already. Page one, why don't we stand and sing? Yeah, unless you start from the back. We'll sing all four. Come Thou Almighty King, 267. We'll sing all four there as well.
not streaming today, but it's maybe it's recording. We'll see. We can post it. You're here. You're hearing it. So anybody else want? Yeah, if you want to hear it, be here. That's. But yeah, so we'll put it up. People at home probably wondering what's going on, but anyway. All right. Look at that. Monday. What's Monday?
Spring.
Yeah. For other parts of the United States, it's spring. Wisconsin?
It's coming.
Yeah. April 20th, right? Yeah, well, anyway. Okay. Don't think there's anything new there. Now's your chance to sign up for snow shoveling, okay? And we'll get your name on the list here. Okay, so, all right. A couple of choruses here. Rejoice in the Lord. Shall we stay on?
Thank you.
you. Greet those around you. Okay, two things not in your prayer sheets, but that you can be praying for. Zilke's heading south, heading for Florida on Thursday evening, so you might pray for them. Have a good trip down there. And also for Sandy's son, Jeff, driving down to Texas tomorrow. So everybody's heading south. Okay. All right. So we're looking at John chapter 2 here today. And we're talking about, how's your joy level? 1 to 10. Are you cup running over or are you running on empty? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you guide us in our study here today as we look at Gospel of John, that we can learn truths that be of help and encouragement to us. Pray for safety for Jeff as he drives to Texas tomorrow. Give him journey mercies. Protect him while he's working down there. Also for Bob and Michelle and the kids, give them an enjoyable trip down to Florida while they're there. Good time together. Safe trip home. We thank you for that. We ask that you'd, again, your Holy Spirit would be our teacher and guide today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, some of you think back further than others on this one, but your marriage ceremony, okay? There's always at least one mistake. A young couple, very much in love, getting married. The wife-to-be's name was Sue, and she was very nervous about this whole thing. And so the pastor chose a verse that he felt would be a real encouragement to her. 1 John 4:18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. He made a poor choice in that he asked the best man to read that out loud. And said that they'd be referring to that later on in the service. Well, the best man wasn't a regular churchgoer, and he didn't know the difference between the Gospel of John and 1 John. And so even though he was supposed to read 1 John 4:18, he read John 4:18. And that says, you have five husbands, and the and the one you have now is not your husband. Oh, boy. Yeah. You can make some mistakes in funerals and get away with it, but you mess up a wedding and you're dead man walking, that bride's mom's going to get you. So, yeah. Anyway. No such thing as a perfect wedding, and there's always going to be some problems somewhere along the way, and some small, maybe some others large. I remember one time, this wasn't one I was officiating, but well, I'll give you the short version of it. The wedding service is getting ready to go, and they're having the reception right there at the church, and the cakehead showed up. And what is going on? They send somebody over there, and the door's locked, lights out, and they call the police, see if they have some kind of emergency number. They finally get a hold of somebody. They had the wrong date. They thought it was the next day. And so they load up the cake and run over there, and the service is going on. And you can imagine, is the cake going to be there when we're done? They were setting the cake up. It was, you know, one of these multi-layer things, and they were setting it up when people were coming in for the reception. So, yeah, there are things that can go haywire along the way. But today we want to look at another thing, at another wedding, and they had a big problem. And they were quickly running out of refreshments for the guests that had been invited to the party. And particularly they were running out of wine. And at once the wine ran out, celebration's kind of over with. And so the joy's gone. They're running on empty. And some of you that are with us here today might be kind of running on empty too with your joy level. And you thought you had enough resources to carry you through on your journey, and reserves have been depleted. Maybe back, you think back on some trips maybe you took, and that's back before everybody had a credit card and you had traveler's checks or cash. And you're thinking, boy, we better hope we got enough money to get back home. Something unexpected comes up. And, well, these guys, they thought they had enough, but they were wrong. And you think, wow, it's going to take a miracle to pull this one out. And so this morning, we see here that Jesus wants to work a miracle. He wants to work a miracle in your life and to fill it with joy. And he wants to restore the joy that was once there and maybe has kind of dwindled away. And so as we take a look here at the miracle that takes place today at this wedding feast of Canaan, we want to notice four steps that needs to happen in our lives before Christ can give us that overflowing joy. And the first thing is to admit that we got a problem. And we see this in chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. It says, "On the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine." Okay, so weddings in Israel, quite different than they are here. They lasted a whole week. And instead of the married couple going off somewhere on their own, we see that they were surrounded by friends and family for a whole week. And during that time, there's a big celebration, a week-long celebration, and the parents of the groom were footing the bill. Imagine how much that would be for a whole week. I mean, so they're, and the bride, we don't know who they are, the bride and groom, But there were some people there that we're familiar with, that of Mary, Jesus' mother, was there. Jesus was there. Some of his disciples were there with him. They had been invited to this this ceremony, this celebration, and it's the third day in, okay? So it's kind of half over with already. And from the human perspective, may it look like Jesus kind of showing up late. But he really just arrived on time. We need to keep in mind that Jesus is never late. He shows up on time. Maybe not as soon as we wanted him there, but he will be there to supply the needs, whatever the problem might be. And we see here that when these people recognize, again, they have a need. And sometimes we have to get to that point in our life where we you know, something kind of has to rattle our cage to realize, hey, we got a need here. And they start thinking about Jesus. Well, again, in this particular case, the supply was running out on the wine, and to Jewish people, that symbolized joy in their celebration. And when the wine runs out, party's over. And so you can imagine the bride and probably the groom as well. If they knew about the shortage, maybe they're not telling them, we don't know. But you can hear the bride saying to her mom, man, I didn't think I was supposed to have things like this to worry about. You know, sometimes things come up unexpected like, and we find ourselves worrying about one thing or another. She was worried about what people might say if the wine ran out. Okay. Do you ever do that? You ever worry about what people might say or what they might do? Well, anyway, same thing with parenting. Supposed to be filled with joy, but sometimes it's anxiety. Christianity is not supposed to be full of worry and anxiety, but sometimes it ends up being that way. And again, we're thinking, you know, I'm supposed to be having joy about this time. And again, some of you, your joy level might be running on the low side. And thing is, it's not like a car, you know, where you stick the dipstick in there, pull it out, and see what the oil level is. There's no joy level or something you can see, oh, it's low, you know, we need to do something about that. But you can usually feel it when you're coming up short on the joy. And some things here that, again, that maybe we hadn't anticipated. Something has stolen our joy. And it could be any number of things. Sometimes people come into your life. And their attitudes, their actions kind of take away our joy. I kind of refer to joy robbers, okay? But sometimes there's another thing that comes along too, and that is sin in people's lives. David, King David, great king of Israel, in one of his weaker moments, as you are familiar with, committed adultery with Bathsheba, tried to cover it up as long as he could, ended up killing her husband, and his sin, again, was hidden for a while, but eventually it came to light. And he couldn't stand it any longer, and he had to go to the Lord and confess and admit what had happened and to be restored. And Psalm 51 is an account of telling this about David and his plea for forgiveness. And he says there in Psalm 51:8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. And then he says in verse 12, familiar to many of you, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You know, remember how happy you were when you first got saved and realizing your sins are forgiven and you're heaven bound. And but sometimes after a while, for one reason or another, that joy seems to kind of wane. Well, David knew that joy was costing him something. And the first step here, though, in that joy to being restored was to admit that he had a problem. And maybe in your own life, maybe it isn't sin. Okay, it doesn't always have to be that. Sometimes people jump on that to begin with. Remember Job's friend, they're all pointing the finger at him. But Job, you must have really sinned. Well, you might be down the mouth a little bit, too, if you lost all your wealth and lost all your kids you know, but sometimes other things come in that kind of takes the joy out of our life. Maybe it's health issues, finances. There's too much month left at the end of the money. Relationships that you're struggling with, just stress that comes along for a variety of different reasons. And Mary, we don't know this for sure, but Mary may have been the one that was responsible for planning this wedding and making sure everything's there, coordinating and all, because she seems to be aware of this problem. They're running out of wine. And it would be embarrassing for her to admit that she didn't plan well enough in advance. And whether she's embarrassed or not, she had to admit she had a problem. And she had to admit that there was a need. And folks, that's what we need to do to begin with to restore our joy, is to admit that we have a need. And we have to do that too. And to admit that whatever that need might be, and that we're running dry on our joy. You know, we might come to church on Sunday morning and, you know, certain expectations, you think, well, I'm coming in, I better, you know, tape on that smile, whether I'm feeling like it or not. And, you know, when somebody asks, how you doing? You know what the programmed answer is. Fine. And you might be lying through your teeth. Maybe you're not fine. We have to be willing to admit that to God. I mean, He knows it already. Okay? But He wants us to admit it. Admit that we have a need. And so that's the first step. If we're missing out on our joy, is to recognize. Again, maybe it is unconfessed sin in our life. Doesn't have to be, but we ought to consider it as a possibility. Other issues. Again, worry. Worry about one thing or another. We need to realize that worry is a sin. We're not trusting God as we ought to. And again, we might find ourselves a bit embarrassed by it all, but joy can't be restored until we get rid of the leak, okay? We get rid of the problem that's causing our joy to go away. And once we admit that we have a problem, then we can do something about it. We recognize what we're dealing with here. And we're going to search for somebody to help us out with that. Well, Mary chooses to bring the problem to Jesus. And folks, that's good advice for us too. We need to bring our problems to Jesus. And she brings it to Him. And the fact that she comes to Jesus indicates that she believed He's able to fix this. And the thing is, Jesus is able to fix whatever problem you've got. You know, you're never going to stump God. You're never going to come to Him and He's saying, well, I've never thought about that one. I'm not quite sure what to do here. The family involved here may not have been their wisest when they planned out the wedding and so on. But nevertheless, they were wise in that they invited Jesus to be there. And the presence of Jesus being there left the possibility of a miracle, Him being able to fix whatever shows up. And the same thing with us today. He's with us today. He promises never to leave us nor forsake us. And the very fact that Jesus is here, also tells us that there's enough power there available to meet whatever problem we might come up with. There's big enough supply to meet our needs. And so Mary comes to Jesus, communicates the problem to Him. Now, His response may seem a little bit rough, but we notice there in latter part of verse 3, and 4, he says, the mother of Jesus said unto Him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. That might seem a little bit harsh, but we see, I think Jesus is trying to communicate to His mom, things are different now, okay? by the way, you know, Jesus is about 30 years old now, and He needs to be doing His Father's will, not just mom's will, okay? And He's no longer obligated to do everything she wants when she wants it. And yet He is under obligation to do what His Heavenly Father wants Him to do. And so when it comes to asking God to do certain things in her life, again, God's under no obligation to us to do things our way in our time. He commands us. We don't command God. And God knows what's best for us, ultimately. There are times when He may choose to withhold something from us, because He knows if we got that, it wouldn't turn out well. And He knows what's going to bring us the most joy. And He wants us to have abundant joy. But He also knows the right time to do these things. And so God does miracles and he answers prayers. And we see here that one thing that we can always go to the Lord and know we're going to get a yes answer, and that is when we go to prayer and ask for forgiveness. If our joy is gone, and or we've never really found joy in our hearts and lives because we've been doing things our own way, doing our own thing, not really paying too much attention as to what God wants, and sin enters into it. Again, whether it's worry, whether it's fear, whatever it might be, he says, bring it to Jesus. And Jesus is able to handle whatever problem that we might have. Now, the next thing we want to see here is in verse 5 and following, Mary tells him, do whatever he tells you to do. Okay? Follow directions. Notice there in verse 5, his mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of which purifying of the Jews contained 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And Jesus said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor's feast. And they bear it. And so, and when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was or where it came from. But the servants which drew the water knew. And the governor of the feast, called the bridegroom, saith unto him, every man at the beginning of the doth set forth the good wine, and when men have drunk well, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Okay, so they're instructed to do whatever Jesus told them to do. And if we want to be refreshed, we want to experience joy in our life, we too need to follow what the Lord tells us to do. And again, sometimes people get the mistaken idea, well, I just, you know, if I'm a Christian, I'm going to have joy. Not a guarantee with that. And you say, but I'm in Jesus' presence. We need to realize that being in Jesus' presence is not an automatic to give you joy. When Jesus was here on earth, there were people, especially religious leaders, were in his presence and yet were not joyful. They were mad and angry and exhibited hatred towards Jesus. And I think even Judas, he'd been with Jesus for 3 years and he, you know, betrays him. And so that didn't bring joy to his heart and life. So the thing is, one of these days we're all going to stand before the Lord. And many are at the great white throne judgment are going to experience fear because of the impending judgment that's coming towards them. But in order to experience Jesus' presence, he needs to be Lord, Master, Savior of our lives. And when we listen to him, he will tell us what we need to obediently do. And as we mentioned in Sunday school, sometimes the Lord tells us stuff that we don't always want to hear. It may be the opposite of what we are tempted to do, whether it's love our neighbor, love our enemies, whatever the case might be. You know, we say, well, I don't feel like it. Well, he didn't ask you if you felt like it. He just said, do it, okay? These guys filling these water pots may not have felt like it either. They're saying, I'm tired. I've been doing this for 3 days. But they did what he told them to do. And he's able to fix the problem if we're obedient. And so those servants, again, were doing what Jesus told them to do. Now, at that point, Jesus kind of switches roles, okay? Not everybody knows what's going on, but he'd been a guest up to that point. Now he's the one that's really kind of in control of the whole wedding ceremony, or the party anyway. And we see how this miracle ends up taking place. And the thing is, people are often willing to let Jesus be a guest in their life. You know, But yet they're not really willing to turn over control, to do whatever the Lord wants them to do. You know, it's selective. Again, I'll do what he wants me to do if I feel like it. Okay? But we see here, unless we're willing to give the Lord control of our life, we're never going to experience that joy that he wants us to experience. So we see here there are 6 stone pots. And there seems to be a little bit of question mark as to how much a firkin was, whether it was 2 or 3, somewhere in between. But they had these 6 stone pots, and the purpose there was for it to hold water. And the Jewish religion had lots of rules and regulations, and one of those that they would pour water on their hands, and it really didn't clean them up that much. There wasn't any soap or anything else involved, but it was kind of a sign here, and running water over their hand. It was something that was required of them. And it was kind of an outward show. It didn't really accomplish all that much. It might be today kind of like coming to church, and maybe even to the extent of us saying our prayers things don't automatically happen. Just because you come to church, you pray, you read your Bible, doesn't mean everything in your life is going to turn up roses, okay? And simply coming to church doesn't solve all the issues. It puts you in the right place. Folks, this is the right place to be. And you can be blessed. You can find joy. You're surrounding yourself with other believers who can enhance your joy, okay? You get out there in the world, they beat you down all week. Come in here encouraged, uplifted. And the Lord might use you to encourage somebody else as well. But if we come to church, we listen to Sunday school, we listen to a sermon or whatever, if we don't put it to use, it doesn't help us that much. Okay? In fact, we're probably in worse shape because we're going to be held accountable. We know what we're supposed to do, and we don't want to do it. And we end up being more miserable because the Holy Spirit convicts us about that. And it's a little bit like I shared with here. I don't know, it's been a little over a week ago at that visitation for with Gail and Dennis. And I was sharing with them about the gospel. You know, it's got, in a sense, it's kind of like a prescription. You know, if you go to the pharmacy, you get the prescription, and yet you take it home and set it on the counter and don't do anything with it, doesn't do you any good. You got to take it for it to do any good. Well, Jesus is the prescription for sin. And so we can't get it without it. And so, again, if we pray, but we refuse to do what the Lord's telling us to do, what the Holy Spirit tells us to do, we're going to come up on the short end of things. And again, if we read the Bible, but yet we have no intentions of changing our lifestyle, our habits, when it's kind of like God shines his light on a verse and makes us aware of something we're not in our own life that doesn't match up to Scripture, and we need to deal something with it. If we don't want to get rid of the sin when it's exposed, it's, again, going to make matters worse, not better. Well, we see these servants. They heard what Jesus had to say, and they responded in obedience. And that's what the Lord wants us to do as well. Now, if we want to experience joy in our life. And so they begin filling up these jars with water. And each of these jars held somewhere between 20 and 30 gallons. Okay, that's a lot of 5-gallon pails, right? And so we're talking about a total of like 140 to 180 gallons of water. And they're filling them up to the brim. Trip after, we don't know how far the well was from these water pots, how much work was involved, how much time, how many times did they have to dip that thing in the well to get water to pull it out and dump it in their bucket and carry it and dump it again. And I'm satisfied it took a while to do all that. And yet, you know, they're supposed to fill it up. Well, you might have filled the top of the first one all the way to the top, but man, this is hard work. Time you get to number 6, Are we saying half full? Is that good enough? Is that close enough? You know, you got an awful lot here. Well, they followed his directions and filled it to the brim. And we see here that, again, we too need to be willing to be obedient. And we want it, if he tells us to fill it to the brim, that's really what he means. Example, maybe again, it's forgiveness, that we need to forgive somebody. Maybe it's to be generous to somebody. Maybe it's being kind to somebody that you don't really like. You know, God's telling us to do something. And not just a half-hearted effort, but to do it all the way. And it requires a bit of work on our part. And it may force us to rearrange our priorities, our schedule. And the amount of joy that we experience is in proportion to the obedience that we give. The greater your obedience, the greater the supply of joy that you can experience. And again, here's an example. You know, as we relate this to ourselves here today, in 2 Peter 3:18, it says, "But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So God wants us to grow spiritually. Well, it doesn't happen automatic, okay? We need to work at it a bit. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." And so there's a need for us to study, okay? And so those are things, among others, that we're to be obedient to. And you're here today, and praise the Lord for that, okay? You're here for the morning service. Did you all know that there's an hour before this that we meet, Sunday school, you know, where you can get some additional help, encouragement, direction? Like today, we're talking about conflict resolution. and what kind of wisdom are we using? Are we using worldly wisdom, earthly wisdom, human wisdom to solve our problems or to counsel somebody, or are we using biblical wisdom? Something we can learn there. Wednesday nights, we're looking at the names of God. And just like the heavens can't contain God, one name doesn't tell us everything we want to know or need to know about God. There's a number of different names that he has. And that tells us about him and encourages us. And even beyond that, it's our own time, taking time out of our schedule and our day to take time to read God's word and apply it to our lives. And like I said, not just read three chapters and slam it shut. 5 minutes later, somebody asks you what you read, you don't know. But to think about what it said, okay, this is what God's word said. What did it mean? What did it mean to me? Is it what needs to change in my life for it to line up with what the scripture has to say? And each one of these things help us to get a little bit closer to the brim. We're filling it up. We're making ourselves available, or we're taking advantage of the resources available in our own lives to fill ourselves up to the brim, fill up our tank. Now, another thing we want to notice here is that he didn't just give them enough to get by. He said, okay, how much do you have to start with? You've been in this 3 days, divide that up. Okay, we'll give you enough for another day. No. No, I don't know how many people are there. But if you've got 140 gallons or 180 gallons of wine or whatever it is, well, that's a lot of refreshments, okay? And he gives it to them abundantly. And we see this elsewhere, like when he's feeding the 5,000. They're gathering up baskets of bread and everything else when he's all done. There was leftovers. And I'm sure there was leftovers after this. He provides for us, but he also says he wants to provide us an abundance. And again, that abounds when we're obedient to him. Now, again, after these servants filled up the jars with water to the brim, he tells them to take, you know, a dipper out of this, put it in glass, whatever, take it over to the man that's leading the get together here, the celebration. And at that point, you know, we don't see him saying anything, but you might be wondering what's going through these guys' minds. They're supposed to take a glass of water over to this, to the head guy there, and getting chewed out for giving him a glass of water when he wants a glass of wine. We don't see anything here where Jesus told them, okay, you poured in water, but now it's wine. He didn't. We don't see that he told them that. And now Jesus could have done any number of things. He could have just waved his hand and filled up all these pots full of water. Or he could have just waved his hand and caused them to be filled up with wine in the first place and save all this work from all these people. But the thing was, he wasn't just wanting to change the water to wine. He was trying to change these servants. In order for that to happen, he needed them to get to the point where they were trusting in him and his authority to do what he did. He didn't need their work to make that miracle happen. But yet we see here he needed their obedience. He needs our obedience. And so the servants take the water to the master. And as far as we know, again, Jesus hadn't told them the change had taken place. And, you know, the MC there is saying, wow, this is good stuff. Why did you save this till the end? A miracle happened that day. And thing is, Jesus brought joy in the hearts and lives of those who were probably sweating a bit, wondering how things are going to work out. And thing is, the Lord can do that for us too. Not just turn water to wine, but whatever your need is, God is able to supply, and we can trust him for it. But it couldn't have happened had Mary not recognized and admitted, hey, we got a problem here. It couldn't have happened without Jesus being there as well to solve the problem. And it couldn't have happened without the willingness of these servants to do the hard work that Jesus asked of them to do. And again, the miracle didn't happen just of those because of those things. Miracle happened when these people, Mary, servants, anybody else that knew what's going on, admitted to themselves that Jesus had authority over their lives and even over the water. And we need to realize that ourselves. And that brings us to this last point here, and the fact that we need to commit ourselves to Jesus Christ because he's the problem solver. Okay? Look at verse 11. This was the beginning of miracles that did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee and manifested or made known forth his glory. Notice, and his disciples believed on him. Okay, he's changing people's hearts and lives through this. And Mary's initial request was fulfilled. And not in her timing or her way, but in God's timing and in God's way. And we see here that the disciples, or at least some of them, were here. And the fact that they believed. They recognized what had happened here. And so we've got several miracles really happening here this day. Changing water to wine's one. And they could continue to celebrate for the rest of the week. But the second was really more important in the fact that they believed on him. Now we believe that they believed to some extent already when they were with John the Baptist. And John identified Jesus as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But now this is kind of an additional nail, if you will, that helped nail it down for them. He's God. Nobody else can do this, okay? This wasn't some magic trick or something. This is for real. They saw what all happened there. And so their faith was stronger after observing this, witnessing this miracle. And we need to see here, again, that principle that, again, Jesus is there to meet our daily needs. Here in this situation, he helped the wedding to continue to go smoothly. But Jesus is able to help us out with our problems too, whatever they might be, in our daily lives. Now, if we're honest about it, our problems, in comparison to all the problems that Jesus has to deal with, again, it's kind of small. But he doesn't just brush it off or ignore it. He's concerned about the issues that are in our lives and our particular needs. He wants to meet our needs. And again, he wants us to, he will keep his promises. He will supply our needs. He tells us there many times in Scripture that he's there to meet our needs. And again, we can bring this close to home in our own life. People look all kinds of different ways trying to bring joy in their life, whether it's fame or fortune or whatever it might be, lots of money. They come up short. You know, remember Solomon? What did he say when it was all done? Vanity. It's all vanity. And he had everything. But he was looking in all the wrong places. And we need to look to Christ, first of all, for our salvation. He's the only one who's able to forgive us of our sins, give us that gift of eternal life, give us the assurance we're headed for heaven. But it isn't just, okay, I'll take care of you when you die. After you die, I'll take care of you here and now. I'll meet your needs here and now. And so as we think about this, you know, as we mentioned, there's no such thing as a perfect way. And there's no such thing as a perfect life or a life without problems. But how are we going to respond to those? Those problems have the potential of stealing our joy. And yet, how are we going to respond to them? Are we going to obey God's commands or just the wisdom of the day, you know? Or wallowing in self-pity, feeling sorry for ourselves. You know, if we want God's kind of joy, might focus in on these in our own lives. Admit that we've got a problem, okay? That's can't fix it till you know what's broke, okay? And so admit that we don't have that joy right now. And there's a multitude of reasons why we may not have that joy. But whatever it is, we need to bring that need to Jesus. And to do whatever he tells us to do, okay? Whether we like it or not, okay? God says, do it, okay? Because he knows what the end result will be, and he knows best how to solve the problem, okay? And then we need to commit ourselves completely to him. Put him in control, all right? Not just for an hour or two a week somewhere along the line, but all week long. And he's able to bring that joy that we're all kind of searching for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, its truth, that you don't want us just going through life kind of trying to survive, but you want us to experience joy along the way. And maybe we've been looking in the wrong places to try to find that joy, that happiness. Help us to be willing to recognize the problems that we have, bring it to Christ, and follow his directions on dealing with it. And not just till that problem's over with and we go back to our old way of doing things, but to keep on being committed to him, looking to him for wisdom and direction daily. We thank you now for your help in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
How about a closing song, I Must Tell Jesus, 430.
430. He's the one who can do something about it, right? You can tell him about it. 430, if you find there, just say, send the first and last.
Thank you.
Texas, and Sophie says they left for Florida here later on the week, Thursday night. So, all right, so we wake up in the middle of the night, Thursday night. Or Bob or Michelle, getting out the driver yet? Or those two. All right, Lord bless you. Thanks for coming. I'm not shaking hands with you. Keep my shirt.